wanted the best, you've got the best podcast. The hottest podcast in the world. The Chris Voss Show, the preeminent podcast with guests so smart you may experience serious brain bleed. The CEOs, authors, thought leaders, visionaries, and motivators. Get ready. Strap yourself in. Keep your hands, arms, and legs inside the vehicle at all times, because you're about to go on a monster education roller coaster with your brain. Now, here's your host, Chris Voss.
Hi, folks. It's Voss here from thechrisvossshow.com. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. There, ladies and gentlemen, that makes it official. Welcome to the big show. We certainly appreciate you guys being here. As always, 3 to 4 times a day, we have some of the most amazing minds and people on the show that share with you their stories, their journeys of life, their lessons of life, their cathartic moments, and help you complete your owner's manual, as we call it, the stories of life. And hopefully, you learn from them some of the lessons they did so you can avoid some of the pitfalls in life yourself or figure out how to get to fixing yourself sooner. We had an amazing young man on the show today. We're going to be talking to him. Mark Scheff joins us. He's a certified coach, award-winning artist, and transformational connoisseur. So that means he eats a lot of delectable treats of connoisseurs of self-improvement or something. I don't know. It sounded good in my head at the time. Mark is a visionary coach dedicated to guiding professionals on a profound creative inner journey. With his expertise, individuals break through barriers, transcending self-limiting beliefs to unlock the full spectrum of their capabilities. His transformational coaching goes beyond the visual arts, resonating with a diverse array of minds, empowering them to architect their own narrative and flourish in their professional endeavors. Well, that's really well put. Welcome to the show. How are you, Mark?
I'm great, Chris. Great to be here. Thanks for having me. You know, it sounds a lot better when you say it. So if you could just do that on my podcast, that would be great.
You know, I have so many people that say, hey, Chris, can I hire you just to have you follow me around and introduce me everywhere I go? And now entering the room is...
Yeah, or just like my voicemail. You know, that would be great.
Like, I think presidents have that. They and now entering the room, president, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I mean, there might be a second living I can make here. So welcome to the show, Mark. We certainly appreciate having you. Give us your .coms, wherever you want people to find you on the interwebs.
Sure. You can always find me at markscheffcoaching.com. I don't know when this podcast goes out, but I'm actually currently running. I've had a great month, and I like to celebrate by giving something to my audience, to my clients. Right now, I'm running a giveaway. If you sign up for my mailing list, you can win one of my two. I run a deep dive session. This is a 2-hour session. If you're curious about coaching, if you want to see what it can do for you, the URL for that right now is imreadytoplaybig.com.
I'm ready to play big. Quit playing small, folks. .com. This should be out in about 3 to 4 days at the very.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'll extend the giveaway to make sure your audience has a chance to sign up.
There you go. So that's very gracious of you. Thank you very much. Give us a 30,000 overview of what you do and how you do it.
30,000 feet. You know, what I do is I work with people just, 30,000 feet. I work with people to create lives that they love. You know, the sort of 10,000 foot, a lot of people come to me because they want something more. I had a client, who, and she's kind of like the epitome of this. She said, look, my life is good. I own my own business. I've got a great marriage. I've got kids. They're healthy. They're in school. Everything's going well. And if I lived every day like this, I could, and I'd be happy. But if I did that for 30 years, I'd feel like I missed out on an opportunity, and I just don't know what that is. So that's where I like to start. That's where people usually come to me, and that's usually where we start.
There you go. That's kind of an interesting thing. I feel like I'm missing an opportunity. You know, there's all sorts of pathways you can take in your life. You could drive yourself mad trying to figure out, could I have done something better? I don't know.
Absolutely.
It's an interesting thought process there. So, Mark, tell us a little bit about yourself, your upbringing. You know, I've taken a look at some of your art as well. It shows you have an incredibly artistic mind and thought pattern. Tell us about your journey through life and how it affected you and how you became a coach.
Yeah, I think I've been fortunate in my life. The long story, there's ups and there's downs, there's things that I've had to get over, there's things that I'm still getting over. But I think the thread, like all of us, I think the thread is always that creativity. I've been lucky to have some wonderful creative mentors, including I just wrote a newsletter about my fifth grade art teacher, Miss Purdy, who, you know, who taught me a really beautiful lesson in fifth grade about the importance of taking that creative space. You know, we were doing an art project in class, and I was kind of, you know, predictably doing kind of not quite the assignment, but I also wasn't really telling people what I was doing, and it looked a little funny. We were making this sculpture, and I wasn't saying what I was doing, but the way that I started, it kind of looked like a nude, you know, figure. And we're in fifth grade, so, you know, all the kids are like, oh, look at what Chef's doing. But she basically told the kids, back off. And she didn't know what I was doing yet. For all she knew, I could have been doing some, you know, lewd thing. I'm making kind of this frog. And if anybody wants to see, email me. I'll send you the newsletter about it. But what
on
she
Substack,
did...
On Substack, by the way. Get a plug-in for that. On Substack, by the way. You get a plug-in for your
I have
Substack.
That newsletter on Substack. Yeah, The Art of Transformation on Substack. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just in that moment, it's funny. Like, I 30-plus years later, 40 years later, I'm now learning the lesson from that class, which really is about the importance of taking creative space. And, you know, I have done a lot of different things. I've been in tech, you know, I've been in leadership positions, I've been in executive positions, and I've been, you know, low man on the totem pole, just, you know, getting my job done, doing it, you know. And what's so interesting is that every point in my life where I've had kind of a leap or a shift, I've been provided that kind of creative space by a mentor, or in some cases, actually, you know, a coach of my own. Mm-hmm. I think about Mr. Buckley, my art teacher in high school, who I still keep in touch with as well, who really gave me a lot of space to create things, to even just to process the things that were going on in my life through creativity, you know, and then, you know, getting now to coaching when COVID hit, you know, I was working, I pitched and got funding for this, you know, executive director position for this nonprofit. And I'm gonna be honest, it didn't go well. You know, it was one of the greatest learning opportunities of my life. And what happened after that is I had someone else who gave me some space, my wife. She said, look, you know, you can go back to what you were doing and you can just get the next thing. Or right now we have the luxury of you could take some time, a couple weeks, couple months, you tell me, and I want you to really plan out what it is that you want to do with this next chapter of your life. So in a way, she kind of like, you know, she gave me an opportunity to coach myself. And what I found was, you know, in all the things that I've been doing, teaching art, I run an art gallery. Obviously, I still show in galleries, and I've done a lot of creative stuff, but I've also done all of these other things, these leadership positions. And the thing that really stood out to me is the way that I like to work through that transition myself and then to show other people how to do it. I didn't know what that looked like at the time, but when I did finally sign up for actual coaching, you know, my certifications, I fell in love. I said, this is it. This is the creative work that I want to be doing with people in my life.
There you go. And so you found your true calling, as it were, in your, well, I mean, I imagine your art is probably part of your true calling as well.
I think it's all integrated. People talk about this like work-life balance, you know, and I say that's kind of BS. You know, our lives are all of these different things. We're trying to balance our lives. Work is one part of it. Creativity is one part of it. Maybe family is a part of it, your relationships. But, you know, but integrating all of those things is one of the biggest challenges that I see facing a lot of people, including people in leadership positions, including people in tech, all that stuff.
There you go. And so I noticed you do some things on Instagram too. You publish some of your thoughts and give people some advice over there as well. And I think on YouTube also.
I'm in the practice of writing. I'm doing a lot more writing now. So whether that's writing really, really short form on Instagram or LinkedIn, you can find me there. Just search for my name. I have my Substack. I'm writing for a magazine called Brains Magazine. I just started writing these like very, very short form. I don't know if they even call them books anymore on an app called Uptime, which is like a, you know, Uptime, it's like a little bit of a Cliff's Notes kind of app. So they'll take books and kind of summarize it into nice visual cards and videos. So I'm writing some of my content for there. And it's a really great way. And I have my clients do this too, you know, to sort of write some of these ideas out. Because the process of writing things out really, you know, the process of explaining something to somebody else is a great way to really understand it for yourself. So, yeah, I'm putting a lot of stuff out there in an effort to understand it better myself so that I can better serve my clients in a lot of ways. Yeah.
There you go. I'm going to have to check out this Uptime app. I've got it pulled up here. Get smarter in just 5 minutes. But journaling is what you're advising your clients to do, kind of in a way, right? So they can self-reflect and self-monitor, and all the successful people that are usually ultra successful. And
yep.
You can measure my money if you want. Journal, and they write stuff. And they think about yeah. stuff.
Yeah, and there's ways to engage with that. I mean, there's so many different, you know, places out there, including, you know, Julie Cameron's Morning Pages. And, you know, one of my friends, Terry Trespicio, who's a TEDx talker, a speaker, has her own writing course, which I think is great. When I work with my clients, I sort of mix, you know, I'm swimming in this stuff all the time. So I'm learning from, you know, Terry and Julie and like all these different people. So when you come to me, what I'd like to do is sort of meet people where they are. What is the thing that you're up against? What do we need to do? And so there's like a number of different kinds of ways of approaching journaling that might, you know, shake something loose for them or help them better understand what it is that they really want. And then, you know, then we can sort of take steps and say, okay, so that's what you want. Let's figure out an action plan and let's actually get you there.
There you go. And so, you know, as we always say in the Chris Voss Show, stories are the owner's manuals of life. That's how we learn. That's how we experience. That's how we entertain ourselves. But, you know, learning from each other, learning stories, reminding us, of course, that maybe things we need to be reminded of, bringing us back to in the present, all these things do through different stories. What do you find most of your clients that come to you, people are struggling with these days?
That's a really great question. What's the common thread? Well, yeah, I've been asked a lot of coaches. A lot of us sort of are talking about who's your audience. What are they up against? What's the problem that you're solving? Mm-hmm. And I think it's an important one. So to answer your question, now that I've done a little bit of stalling, is you know, I think most of my clients, if I were to say there was like sort of a most common, you know, avatar, if you will, most of my clients are probably in the 35 to 55 range, somewhere midlife. Mm. And they're at a place where, you know, like I said, they've done enough living where, you know, they know what it's like, you know, they know what kind of 15, 20 years in the workforce or not looks like. They know what that looks like. They know they have some tools, they have some sense that, you know, they could plan maybe the next 15 or 20 or 30 or more. Because now, you know, now I'm 47. So now that I'm 47, I'm not 25. I have more life experience. I could actually put some of that to use. So the problem, if you will, is okay. So what do I plan? You know, I maybe I've got a very varied background, or maybe I've just been doing one thing for so long and I don't really know what else is out there. Mm-hmm. That's the problem that people that come up against, is that they're aware, like I said about that first client, you know, that maybe they could do what they're doing now for the next 30 years, but they just don't know what it is that they're missing. And to be fair, you know, Chris, I've had clients come to me and we've worked through what it is they really want and what their values are, what their purpose is, what their vision is. And some of them realize I'm actually kind of doing that. Maybe there's a few small shifts that they want to make, but the fact is they end up feeling much more fulfilled and happy where they are. I've had some clients leave organizations, start their own organization, you know, leave really important, you know, high paying jobs for something that feels much more fulfilling, you know, creating jobs for other people. And like I said, I've also had people who said, you know, they kind of want to get out of that, you know, that comparison game, you know, that we all have to play, you know, we're out in the world and they just want to really focus on what's important to them. And maybe just, you know, just the people who are close to them. But I would say that the thread, the main problem is, okay, I'm here. I'm sort of, you know, somewhere in the middle of my life. I know that I could plan this next chapter. I could use some support in making sure that I do that really, really thoughtfully.
There you go. A lot of people, you know, kind of that midlife crisis, maybe, or that midlife point where, you know, you realize I did this over COVID, where it kind of struck me, and I think I had seen something on Etsy where they actually have something where they have all the weeks laid out of the average lifespan. I think it's like 70 some odd years, but they have the weeks and they have these little dots of the weeks and it's measured out. And what they do is if you buy it, I don't know why I'm selling this for them. Better get a check, folks. But they fill in the weeks and the weeks disappear pretty quickly when you look at it. It's not a lot. And I started to realize that at 50, well, I would think I was 52 when COVID hit, I started to realize that I was either halfway through the game, depending upon my life expectancy. I know what age my father died. My mother's side, they tend to live a lot closer to 100. Mm-hmm. My father lived to, I think, 74, 75, 76. I'd have to, clearly the dimension's kicking in already. So but he lived, it was either 74, 75, or 76. So, you know, I'm sitting there looking at the my clock going. I'm 52. I've got 20 years, 25 years maybe, to if I have my father's DNA and genes and, you know, whatever. I'm basically at 52. I'm in the last third of the game. I'm in the fourth quarter, maybe the last part of the third quarter to fourth quarter, if you think of it as a fourth quarter, four-quarter football game. And I started talking about this during COVID because I'm like, holy crap, I'm in the last stages of the game. The game's mostly over, but it's not over. But still, I need to start thinking about, you know, you think of the two-minute drill in football or, you know, basketball. When you get down to those last few minutes, that seems to be like a whole hour of the game is those last few minutes of basketball. And you need to realize that the time is short and you need to maximize it with what you can do. And so it sounds like a lot of those same people that you're talking to and helping them with their issues, they're realizing they're halfway through the game or maybe three quarters of the way through the game. And, you know, there's no room to fuck around anymore, right? You know, when you're young, you can be right. Like, I can be a little careless and I can be reckless a little bit. But, you know, you realize there's a certain point where you can't be reckless anymore. You got to really take this game seriously, mainly because you don't have as much time. And so I think it's important for people to look at that. And then, of course, decide, you know, how do you want to spend the rest of his life? Try and be more intentional and thoughtful of him.
I think that's absolutely right. I think about the midlife crisis more as midnight. Did I say midlife crisis? Might be my dimensions kicking in now too.
No, you did. You said midlife.
You know, I think about it more of as a midlife catharsis or even a midlife opportunity. And that's the really scary thing is that, you know, we're old enough to look at this and say, this is an opportunity. I've got 25, maybe 30 summers left. I could actually plan that out, you know, and so, you know, when I do work with people on this, you know, we focus on, there's a lot of different tools and a lot of different ways to do this, but fundamentally, like you said, you can see you've lived as long as probably, you know, even if you live another 50 years, like you've already done it. So you know what that looks like. So the question, really the question, and this is some of the exercises we do is how do you want to be remembered? You know, when you are at end of life, you know, when you're at, whether it's 75 or 85 or 95 and you look back, what do you want to say? How do you want to say you spent, you, do you want to say that you spent that last quarter just, you know, saying, okay, well, I didn't get it at 50 or I didn't do it at 40 or whatever. So I just sort of coasted. Or do you want to be remembered as somebody who really gave it all, you know, up to the very end?
Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah, you just realized that it's kind of funny. I knew I was screwing around a lot in my younger years. And when the old man died, I remember saying to myself, geez, am I going to grow up now? Quit being a Peter Pan boy and maybe start taking life seriously. I mean, he set the marker for me basically when he passed. Because I'm like, gee, my genetics are either his or my mom's. My mom's seems to be more my mom's, but hopefully I have her longevity. Remember when I was a kid, I had my great great grandmother alive at the same time as my great grandmother.
Wait, your great great?
Yep. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
They lived
to 100, I think it was. And so I was one of the few people that I knew who had all three or four of them. Well, all the four of the mothers, technically, alive at the same time. And so I'm hoping I have that matriarch side of the family. But I know where my father's marker is. So
right.
There's right. That. And so it kind of set a marker for me that said, hey, man, there's probably a stop sign in there somewhere, depending on how you live your life.
And I imagine I imagine you had a number of feelings about that, but it sounds like it, you know, it got you to really, like you said, say, okay, well, what am I going to do with what I have? How can I really make this last, you know, however long it is, a really great experience.
Yeah. And I think maybe two people need to, like what you said, they need to realize the thing, you know, if I die tomorrow or next week or whatever, would I be happy with the way I lived? Would I be, you know, I mean, people, you know, probably should start thinking about what it's like if you're on your deathbed. Are there things that you wish you'd done? You know, it's been,
yeah,
studied and talked about that you know, people on their deathbed aren't sitting there going, God, I wish I could have sent more emails. And
no one's there and saying, oh, I wish I really should have worked more.
I should have asked more questions in the Zoom meeting that already went on too long. You know,
I think that's it. I mean, you're absolutely right. And one sort of an interesting thought exercise that you can play if you're listening is, you know, imagine that you died yesterday, but today you woke up this morning and you had one more day. How are you going to spend that day? Now, obviously, you know, this isn't some sort of like weird Jim Carrey movie where you're going to go, you know, off and do some crazy thing, but the sense of, you know, how are you going to make decisions today, every day, even small ones that are in line with the person, the way that you want to be remembered? You know, so do I want to be remembered as the person who kind of said, I'm going to put things off till tomorrow? Do I want to be the kind of person who, you know, only spent time at work? Like after this, I have a regular, you know, we have a regular family night dinner. We get a little special takeout. It's the one time that my son, who's a teenager now, will actually talk to us because there's food involved. Oh. But those things are important to me. And I think people forget about those things too. They think, okay, you know, I need to go start a company and do all this. Yeah, sure. Do all that stuff. That's fine. We can work on that too. But the thing, you know, you asked about what is the problem that a lot of people have, and a lot of it is this concept of balance. You know, when we talk about legacy, it's you know, it's the work stuff, maybe it's money, you know, all of those things are part of it. And again, you know, it's how do you want to be remembered? How do you want to be known right now by, you know, by your family, by your friends, by your colleagues, by your peers? You know, how you're known right now is how you also create opportunity for yourself. So working on that now creates more opportunity, creates that stronger legacy.
There you go. I try to strive to just be known as an asshole, a giant asshole. And
you're doing a terrible job. I'm sorry to tell you. I know.
I'm working on it. It's a progress thing. You know?
I'll give you some free coaching. I can teach you how to do it.
I just train with politicians, and so I'm getting better. At it. You know, there were some interesting stories that you had on the Art of Transformation, your Substack thing. One of the stories I found that was interesting was how you learned about achieving potential from trauma coach training and a car crash. Do you want to retell that story by chance?
Yeah, it's weird. That one's come up a couple times this week.
Yeah, it's an interesting hook, and it sucked me right down the rabbit hole of your blog there.
Yeah, and it's about the story is about, you know, it's this trauma coach training that I did, and actually, interestingly enough, the example that they give in the coach training is about working with someone who is maybe just in a car crash, not in the hospital, not hurt, but you know, sometimes you get in a fender bender and you're off by the side of the road and you're still in a state of shock. And this applies both to that kind of really acute trauma, but also to the kind of, you know, all the stories that we tell ourselves that are holding us back. So, for example, you know, when you have an incident like that that's so acute, what tends to happen is when you go and think about it, when you remember it, your body, all the chemicals and stuff go off in your body, kind of like it's happening right now, which is so fascinating. So one of the things that you would do with someone as a coach or even a bystander, you know, I had to do this literally with myself about a week later, when you notice that someone's kind of in that state of shock, is just to really remind them of the facts on the ground. You are, you know, you're not in the car anymore. That part of your time is done. You're in this cafe, you're by the side of the road, everybody's safe, nobody got hurt. This is the reality right now. Let's start to make some decisions from this reality right now. Because oftentimes what we do, and I see this all the time with clients, what we do is we make decisions out of fear of something that happened, this kind of car accident thing where we're letting that, you know, like you could imagine someone, you know, not ever driving again because, you know, they're just so afraid of that thing that happening again. Or, you know, this kind of, you know, whatever made up fears we have about the future, we let these stories that we tell ourselves, it's not going to go well, or, you know, there's this thing, fear of success, which sounds insane, but it really, you know, it really is. What if I don't get the thing is certainly a fear that you might feel some sort of embarrassment, but also what if I do get the thing, then what do I do now? You know, am I good enough? Am I going to do all these things? So the you can use sort of the same the same skills that you would use with the person, like I did, you know, with myself by the side of the road, and say, okay, like I'm hearing all these stories kind of go on in my head. I've had a goal to reach out to certain, you know, people for a business or to create this company or to find out information about setting up my, you know, S corp or whatever it is, and I'm not doing it. What's the story that's getting in my way, and how can I, you know, how can I journal or, you know, or something like that to really get present with what's really here right now.
Mm-hmm. And you find that's really what it is. The stories that we tell ourselves end up being the ones that get in our way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cause you know, the fact is a belief, if you have beliefs, a belief is in many ways, just a story that's been repeated over and over. And you can, you know, obviously there's religious beliefs, and there's usually, you know, if you're an organized religion, there's a book and it's full of stories and you've heard these stories over and over again. And that's in many ways, and I'm oversimplifying. So don't, you know,
sure.
Don't blame me here, but hate mail people. Yeah, please. But you know, The idea is, you know, you've got these stories, you're hearing them over and over again. That's in many ways the foundation of a belief. Now we do this for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of ways into this kind of topic, but fundamentally, like when we're kids, you know, we have a set of beliefs that our parents, you know, that our parents gave us. Our beliefs about money, our beliefs about the world, about safety, right and wrong, all of these things. And sometimes we grow up and go, those were good. And sometimes we grow up and go, I really don't actually believe those things. I don't think they had it right. Maybe more often than not. And so the trick is to start to tell new stories. So, you know, that's one of the roles of a coach or even a mentor, to really say, well, let's look at what's actually here. You know, do you need to be making the same decisions that your parents made? Or even, you know, forget childhood, you know, maybe the first job you had, you know, out of college or out of high school, maybe the first job you had, you learned what it was to be in the working world, but now maybe you're a little further along, you've got more opportunities, but maybe you're not seeing them because, you know, you weren't taught to see them. And that's, you know, and that's one, again, that's another thing we can start to do, is start to tell stories about what the opportunities are that are available to you. So this idea of telling stories is, and I can't tell you how powerful this is when you have somebody who's, you know, who's struggling with a decision about, you know, which, like you said, there's many opportunities in the world. And one of the hard things that I encounter with people is this like decision paralysis, right? Maybe they have too many opportunities and they really don't want to make the wrong one, because again, I've got 25, 30 summers left or whatever it is. I want to make sure I spend it wisely. And you know, you can come to me and I'm not going to tell you what that decision is. I might have some ideas. I'm happy to share them. But what I'm really curious about is, okay, what is, again, it's this legacy idea. What is important to you? What are the values, and you know, what is your purpose, and how do you want to be remembered? Now, if we were to ask that person at the end of their life, which of these decisions did they make? Sometimes it becomes clear just like that.
Oh, it's just reflecting on it.
I mean, you know, in many ways, that's what coaching, I wish I could say it was like a lot more complicated than that. But in many ways, you know, what my job is to be a mirror. Now, I think I'm a very thoughtful, very insightful, well-educated mirror, you know, who can challenge you as well as show you what's actually true. Because sometimes, you know, we look in the mirror and we see through a filter, right? We see through a filter of our experiences, of our biases, of our judgments, of, you know, of our all this comparison stuff that we do. But sometimes it's really valuable to have another mirror to say, well, look, this is what I see. And sometimes, you know, if you've ever had a coach, or even just like a really great close, you know, friend who really has got your back, is in your corner, to continue with the sports analogy, is in your corner. It's important to have that kind of reflection, both to challenge you to say, you know what, quit slacking out there. You can do this, but also you can do this.
Yeah,
I'm in your corner because I believe in you. And just to be clear, like I don't coach everybody who emails me and comes through my door. I really want to believe in what it is that they're doing, because I want to make a change in the world. I want the work that I do to be my legacy. And the work that I do is reflected in the work that my clients do. So I want to know that they're out trying to do good things in the world.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
Get people down that road. What are some other things that your favorite topics are when you're helping clients help them achieve?
Well, to be honest, one of my favorite topics is jujitsu. I'm an avid practitioner. I go at least 5 days a week, sometimes six, sometimes seven. And I think it's one of the greatest analogies for almost anything in life. You want to talk about, you know, being willing to go into a space where you're willing to do something badly for quite a long time, and also willing to go into a space where, you know, there's always going to be somebody better than you in that room, no matter how far along you get on your journey. Even when you get the, you know, the coveted black belt, there's people who are still ahead of you. And by that point, certainly for me, there's still going to be a lot of people younger than me. And so you really learn a lot of these lessons. If I played the comparison game, I would have quit a long time ago. Everybody would quit on day one. But the fact is, you know, I'm enjoying so much about the process, and I've come to make the process in many ways the goal. So I, you know, when I tell my clients about this, I say, look, you know, when I go into the gym every day, my goal is to come back tomorrow. You know, I'm looking to leave it all out there on the mat in such a way that I'm not hurt, my training partners aren't hurt, we've gotten a little better. You know, no one hates me for how I, you know, there are as few people as possible hate me for, you know, the way I behaved out there. And we come back tomorrow as a team, we come back better, and we're all progressing. So it's a great, I mean, it's just such a great analogy for life, for business. If you're talking about working with teams, I'm a little more advanced. I've been doing it for about 6 or 7 years now. So I'm, you know, I do know, you know, quite a few things. And so there's plenty of people in there who are, you know, just getting started, and plenty of people who have lots to teach me. And when you're talking about creating your own fulfilled life, whether it's business or personal, that's always going to be the case. So with almost every client, I end up talking quite a lot about jujitsu as this analogy for, you know, almost on anything we do.
There you go. It's an art form that's not only great for the mental source, but also for the physical as well.
It is. It's physical. It's mental. I mean, it's what I like about it too, is if you don't know jujitsu, it's very much like grappling. There's no striking. It's, you know, it's like wrestling, but you can, you know, you can do choke holds and stuff like that. But the way, you know, at least in my, I know there's lots of different kinds of gyms out there, and that's another thing. You know, you got to find your room, so to speak. But what I really, really like about my gym is it's really dedicated to the growth of the members of the gym. So, you know, yes, we want to put it all out there on the mat. No, not in such a way that it's going to be, you know, harmful. And again, it's we want to come back tomorrow. We want to come back next week, next year, you know, uninjured, stronger, smarter, and, you know, just more compassionate to, you know, to the world around us.
Definitely. Definitely. So how can people onboard you? What are some of the offerings that you have on your website that people can get involved? How can they handshake with you to, you know, see if you're a good fit, et cetera, et cetera?
It's a great question. Right now, so I've got two ways that you can connect with me. I just kicked off my group program that's really exclusively for artists. I will be building a program that's more general for folks who are entrepreneurs. I don't have that out yet. But if you want to connect with me and you're interested in finding out about one-on-one coaching, you can just email me. My website is on my email's on my website, markchefcoaching.com. Again, you can, if you want to get on my mailing list, I send out, you know, all kinds of information so you can kind of try before you buy. And if you're interested in doing that, you can go to the website, imreadytoplaybig.com. That'll send you to a sign up. You can join there. If you want to take that next step, and like I said, I want to be really clear. I don't like doing a hard sell, because if you know, it's like trying to hard sell somebody on therapy. They're going to come in the room and not do any of the work. It doesn't work. So if you're curious about it, I like to give people, you know, a free session. I will meet with them and I will actually help them. I've had people take this session and say, I really don't know what I want. And by the end of that first session, we discovered a vision that's so powerful for them that they're like, okay, when do we start? That's, you know, that's sometimes where people come to me and say, well, I just really don't even know what I'd work on. So if you want to reach out to me, there's a way to do that on my website. You can book one of these calls with me. We'll do some exploration. And at the end, if you really got something out of it, we'll know. You know, I don't like push. If people, you know, come and, you know, we have a nice conversation and that's kind of it, we both know that it's there. So it's not a hard sell. But yeah, that's where people can reach out to me. That's how people can connect. I'm also on, you know, all the social platforms. So if people just want to message me there, that's fine.
There you go. Well, it's been wonderful to have you on, Mark. Very insightful, and hopefully we help some people with their journeys through life.
I really hope so. Chris, thank you so much for having me. I can't wait to share the episode.
There you go. Thank you. And thanks to Hottest for tuning in. Go to goodreads.com, ForChessChrisVoss, LinkedIn.com, ForChessChrisVoss, ChrisVoss1, the TikTok, and all those crazy places on the internet. Thanks for tuning in. Be good to each other. Stay safe. And we'll see you guys next time. And that should happen.